technically. So you have to do kapara for the avera part of it. Right, so Tosfos here connects that. He says that, right, he seems to say that that is a, this isn't connected. But it's not so tightly connected, because the old Tosfos says, really, Tosfos doesn't analogize necessarily bringing a, becoming a nazir to being the Kain Kalom Shabbat. What he says is, I can prove to you that just the fact of being Mikaneh is a chait from the case of Tanit Kalam. But it would be nice to argue that they were connected, and that Tanit Kalam also said there's just a whole model, there's a whole category of cases where we have an Avira, and we have a Mitzvah, and we decide the Mitzvah is the Olamina Avira, so we go ahead and do the Mitzvah. But the Avira is still wrong. Yeah.
Now, in that Avera, does the kapara for the Avera have to be something that you actively do, like you take on this extra falon? Or what about the case of the grave workers, where that's the kapara is something that isn't actually kapara, probably isn't actually kapara, it's something coming from the outside and from their particular misinterpretation that seems to affect kapara? I mean, again, it depends on...
I don't really know how the kapara functions.
Okay,
so it's a hard press to make a claim about that one. Kapara sometimes happens, you know, the whole debate we had earlier, right? Whether, you know, is death a kapara, even if it's not be such death.
Right.
Right, that's, I don't know. I don't know how to kapara functions. Yeah.
And just one, like, last linguistic point on the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't mention this point here, but he does in Nazir. Right, is the, right, the, when the Gemara's discussion there is, right, Parach Naziris Milsa de Avera, Bamrin Lengaya, right, so it's, you know, it's using the Lashon of Avera. The other Girsa, that Tosfos quotes in Nazir is Milsa Davida, right? I mean, it completely gets rid of any right shemeth of Avera. Right? Just says, right, it's something that's done. Right? Is this something that people would do such that you would assume that someone would become a Nazir, right? But it removes the Lashon of Avera completely, right?
So.
Right? Meaning, and then, the context, the Gemara goes, right, Hey Na Be Mitzvot, and the Gemara says, how can you call it Nae? Is it Milsa Davera or Milsa Davida? If you read it Milsa Davera, it's Navera, and Tosfos has to justify how it's Navera and a Mitzvah at the same time.
You still need the Kripote here.
Right, but then you don't have the word Avera. All you have is that, right, it's not really...
Kripote.
What?
You have the word Kripote.
Well, you have Kripote without the Lashon Avera, which may or may not end anything.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure
that
you have to prove
to me
there's a difference.
I'm not sure there is. I mean, Tosfos just quotes both Gersalas as having different valences over there, but...
I'm not going to. Okay, so... what I want to come out of here is, right, so we could claim that on the narrowest end, you could claim that really there is no, the whole Machlokas of Kabbalah Ba'atzmacha is about cases of inadequate Sarat. So the person holds his Usar in a case of inadequate Sarat, and the person holds his Mutter even in a case of inadequate Sarat. And everybody agrees it's Usar in a case of Sarat, and in a case of no Sarat. Everybody agrees that Mutter in a case of sufficient Sarat. If you try and figure out what the formulation is, like, why is it that you would think that something is, right, is Mutter for, is Usar for, is Usar or Mutter for insufficient Sarat? One, the Shli is pretty much the other that you can, how to reconcile it, where you claim that the only person holding Mutter, which holds the only answer, is absolutely purposeless. Whereas the person who holds that it's usher holds that there's something intrinsically wrong with damaging your body, and the only time it's mutter is if you gain more. Right? The other time it has to be a utilitarian calculus. We could talk about the analogies to Shabbat, right? Whether the Shabbat analogy was constitutional calculus, a good analogy, and things like that. We don't have any hints for an isser Kabbalah that is absolute. You don't have anybody who claims that the Issa Chabal is absolute. It's just an absolute prohibition against the world. That's important to know. And in light of, and if you frame it this way, if you frame it that the only Machloket is about what constitutes a Surah, then we have a fair question, halakhically, which is, how would we determine, who would determine, what constitutes a sufficient Sarah? Right, is that an issue of psak? Or is it an issue of standards which are less conscious? That's entirely open. Yes, John?
Of course, all of this is assuming that when the Gemara is discussing the Isser of Chaval Basmo, it's actually relating directly to the nature of the Isser, not assuming that really what's binding is the, you know, is the programmatic statement of the Mishnah that makes it sound like Chaval Basmo is equivalent to Chaval Bachirim, and all the Gemara is doing is attempting to prove that is attempting to show why such a notion is even possible. But once you can defend that, no matter how tenuous the defense is, right, we can return to the Tokef for the programmatic statement, and then you come to read like the Rambam, right? But I'm saying, like, that type of, right, meaning if you assume, right, meaning if you assume that the Gemara is actually analyzing the Isser itself and not simply attempting to show, right, is it possible to defend, right, a statement which seems to say on its face value that Chaval Basmo is equivalent to Chaval Bachirim, and the, right, and the Gemara, right, basically the back and forth of the Gemara is an attempt to show that it's possible to have Isurim that apply to you as well, if I can, even I could hang on to that, right, that possibility by the skin of my teeth, it doesn't matter, because then I can return.
So the short answer to why I don't believe that, at least I prefer not to say that, is that nothing in the Torah says anything about Isur Lishbol. The Torah is only about Tavon. So the claim that we're defending a proposition that Chaval Basmo is as Usur as Chaval Bachirim, we haven't even demonstrated that Chaval Bachirim is Usur. As opposed to a law,
right,
that requires confidence, as opposed to.
Well, I mean, that's a pasuk. We assume,
right,
it from LaYosef.
So I have to assume background, right? So
you have to assume background, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe they see. We know that the.
I mean, whether or not that seems to be, was, you know, I mean,
it's two assumptions. I mean, I have to assume that we're that the purpose is to defend the parallelism, which is an assumption, which is built on a pasuk which isn't quoted.
Right.
In a context that never mentions it, that's a lot of steps. Yeah.
Right, but it's a defendable position, which I think at least exists.
It's easier to defend the position that there's no halakha of the Isser, and that's what the Gemara gets from why not the teaching in Rashi. Right, it should say halakha of Asur. Right, so it's easier just to defend the proposition that there never was a sheet of the Chaval Basmo Chaval Asur.
Asur and Rashi are the same thing.
Well, that, I think, is an open question. But now that we know that Nikra Chote is not the same, right, is definitely not the same as Asur. And we have a, right, and absent David's Fedron, we are reasonably comfortable, right, we would be comfortable saying that the position Nikra Chote is the same as the position that Gemara identifies as Nikra Rashai. So it seems to be easier to just defend the proposition that there's simply not, that not only is there, there's not even a book of whether it's Asur. Everybody holds it's Musar. But some people think it's wrong.
Right.
The thing,
and of course
wrong.
That doesn't.
But some people think it's not wrong.
No, Shlomo Tzarech, right? In Tosfos at least, Shlomo Tzarech, everybody agrees it's wrong. It's Baal Tashfis.
No,
yeah, that half minute gets rejected. Tosfos only explains the comedy. It's not Baal Tashfis.
Okay, so it's something, right? Oh, you're right. It's not even Baal Tashfis. It's Tzar. It's self-inflicted tsar. Self-inflicted tsar, purposeless self-inflicted tsar is wrong.
You're assuming that every line in Gemara that we don't explicitly accept we're rejecting, and not that Ruben Gemara is, right, being dokeh as dispositive.
Could be cumulative.
Right. Which, you know, that's why
you
Rishon,
can't prove from there, but really once we prove,
right, because if you look, that's why
some
Rishonim and Acharon will adopt the first pasuk, some will adopt the second pasuk, some will look for other pasukim, right?
So my bottom line is that as opposed to, right, you know, and this I think I am reflecting the movement of the sugya, is that you might start from a mission and a presumption that, well, everybody holds that it's also to be called a vasna, but all the question is under what circumstances it would there. And you're in a position where, well, nobody holds it's also, the only question is it wrong. Now that may be as extreme as the first position, which is by somewhere in the middle. But I can make a textual argument as plausible for that. Now that doesn't mean that I can't construct all sorts of other types of issues that will prohibit the behavior on ground other than Chaval. Right? The same way that I can generate a chiyuv to learn Torah without an issur of Talmud Torah, which is very valuable. But it doesn't generate. But the issue is, if we want to connect sour to help. So this doesn't get you to an absolute obligation to maintain health. Although I am perfectly comfortable generating an obligation to maintain health on the same grounds as I explained the Rinnegan to begin with, which is that that God gives you stuff and to not use it is a right to diminish your opportunity to experience God's bounty is a theological wrong. And I'm perfectly comfortable generating that religiously. In that case, the obligation for help becomes part of the obligation of being a religious, of being a religious human being. It doesn't have a specific value, but we're going to have to finish up soon. It doesn't look like we're going to actually get as far as we want to. So I'm going to skip everything up to the Gemara Sanhedrin. The purpose of all the intermediate stages is all your faith, the Gokol, Rishon, etc. is really, for my sake, just to get you two things. One is to understand the issue of whether you're allowed to be Makalalas Mecha also, whether you have a Sira, whether there's a Makalalas or not a Makalalas, but whether you're allowed to be Makalalas Mecha. Then we have to decide, now we have three axes, we have suicide, suicide, self-wounding, self-inflicted pain, self-inflicted humiliation, and self-inflicted person. Okay, and the question is, are all five of these connected? I could make it even fancier and talk about self-inflicted wounding that won't heal and self-inflicted wounding that won't heal. Now we have six different axes to ask the question. Right? Now what if I leave a scar, right? That might be an intermediate position. Good, right? So I can have seven. Right? So I can complicate it for some of that, right? Suicide has its own pasuk, and cursing has its own pasuk, and we have a possible source for tzar, and you can figure out for yourself whether you want to make all these part of the same collection, and really address them all on the basis of one premise, and then you have to decide whether the body is enough to address that premise, right? God's body may not be enough to get you pain, right? Or whether nefesh is enough to get you that premise, that's right, all that I have to figure out on your own. The last thing I wanted to do was get into the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We've already seen that the Achronim, in the end, the last case, the Gemara constructs the case of somebody who, whether a child can engage in medical bloodletting on a parent. And the Gemara seems to indicate that at least lechatchila, certain Amoraim believed it was better for a non-relative to engage in the bloodletting, to be the orderly who sticks to the deal, than a child. On the grounds that if something goes wrong, for somebody else it's only a shigigas lav, but for you, drawing blood from your parents is a shigigas kind. So the problem that drives everyone crazy is we just established that makel refuah is mutter. So if striking someone for refuah is mutter, so why would this be right? Why would this be a shkaga? It seems right.
If you go too far.
So you go too far. Okay.
But shkigagat love. Right? Shkigagat love. You can have the right intention and you go too far.
Good. So the problem. So now everyone starts going down and saying, but hang on a sec. Isn't there an implicit mechila? Every time you put yourself in a doctor's hands, right? You're not only forgiving them the specific action that is therapeutically effective. You're forgiving them any actions that are non-negligent.
Only for actually curing your butter.
Yeah, but we're assuming this is negligent.
But the proof is right. So assuming this is non-negligent, right? It's a shigiga. Right, so that seems right. So all the Achronim want to say doesn't. But isn't there an implicit mechila? And if it's still a shigiga, right, that must mean that mechila is ineffective.
So there's a mechila that's for
the shigiga.
All this is non-negligent.
Okay, so I can try to figure out what the boundary is. So there are ways out. One way out of David suggests is to say that we only forgive doctors if they do their best. But if they do their middling, even if it's not right at the level of negligence, we don't forgive them.
Wait, who says you have to, especially back then, who says you have to be negligent for it not to work?
No, the question is, why are you liable?
Because lechatchila, you can't.
Right.
You're allowed to only, maybe, you're allowed to only for refuah.
Yeah.
Therefore, if it doesn't work for refuah, which it could could very well not work for refuah, knowing
and
what we know.
Mechila doesn't work.
Yeah, because mechila only works for refuah.
Well, mechila works, you couldn't even do refuah without mechila?
There's no mechila, you're allowed to do it for refuah.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah,
you're
also
unconditioned that the refuah works. And if the refuah doesn't work, then you're not mocha.
Right,
so
this is maybe a psychological, right?
Do you need to do it tonight, couple, for that to work?
Sorry, where are we going to?
I was saying that the examples depend on the refuah. The refuah can work, and you can still end up with more. You can get the splinter out, and still have the engine complete significantly more than necessary.
More than they were expecting.
Right, so my question is, is a proactive or retroactive?
Good. That's
if it's
excellent
proactive,
question.
Then I'm only going to be mobile for you to get the splinter out and the little bit of blood I expect, and if you bleed more, then there wasn't inherent blood.
Right.
If it's retroactive, then maybe I could decide
right.
to do
it. So I think that for all these selected reasons, the attempt to bring a proof from here that Mechila doesn't work just right is not a non-starter, because it's so easy to construct cases. You can claim the Gemara is talking about a case, now, since they didn't give them a shut, so you can't claim they did it involuntarily. But you can claim that, you know what, reality is that Mechila doesn't work very well. This is an issue that comes up in Kibbutz generally. I always, you know, ask this question to my students every year. Right? What happens, the Gemara says you should be mochel in advance or cover to your children as much as possible. But what happens if you're mochel them all you want and then it turns out you're mad? Right? Does Mechila still work? I tell you in advance, I am mochel if you call me, right, I tell my kids, right, that I am mochel if you call me Tati instead of and then it turns out, like, even though I think I am, but you know what? I'm not really. It upsets me. Right? I think I'm local. They're sitting in my chair, but it turns out I'm not. Right? And not at all. So does that mean that they violated? They acted in good faith. Right? How can you ever be sure Mechila is going to work? What are the boundaries of Mechila? Right? You know. What if I said, I'm not going to draw your blood now, and he says, sure. And I said, it's only going to hurt a little bit. Turns out not for a little bit. Right? Turns out it takes me 16 tries to get the vein. It hurts a lot, you know? the deal is not so effective. So I think that the attempt to bring a raya that the field is ineffective in this Gemara is just unrealistic. It doesn't take into account the complexity of the field in actual case. Rav Zevin makes fun of the Tori Evin for saying it's talking about a case where there was no mechila. There's an obvious dochei. Maybe there was a mechila, but there wasn't a mechila v'ratzel b'tzavtana. Right? You need a really detailed waiver, having read it all, right? Full informed consent. You have an actual waiver. You never know exactly what's going to happen. Maybe you find out afterwards, you know, you say, oh, Abba, thank you for letting me draw the 2 cc's of blood. 2 cc's? I only said 1. Right? You know, so, right? So I think that the attempt to right here is just a failure from the start. Yes,
I think your assumption is actually coming through here.
Yeah.
That can
be taken out of context.
Nichas Chinuch has a plausible reading. That maybe this is all talking about a case where there was no Mechila, for all the reasons we've said. But the Turi Evans read that to make it okim don half the sugya that by a chayrim it's talking about a case.
Oh,
where
you're still on this. Okay, fine, good. Okay, noted. Okay, sorry, I might be getting into this setup and grab the names backwards. Okay, yes, fine.
כדי להגיד את מה שאומר על מכילה, צריך מנחת יסוד שתסתכל על מכילה יותר כמשהו יותר אנושי ורגשי, מאשר כמשהו בעל תוקף משפטי, כלשהו. אני חושב שאתה מסתכלים על זה כתוקף משפטי.
So Ron is saying that מכילה is a formality. So that would require a form, though. כדי לדעת מה באמת תוקן המכילה, אז צריכים לכתוב משהו, אני מוכל על כך, אבל לא על כך, ולא על כך, but it didn't require a real informed consent regimen. So we could know exactly what the person was mochel. So the vaday lo mochel al kol.
בסוגיה שלנו אין אדם מוכל ראשי דברים או מוכל על צער, אז נגיד אנחנו מתחילים למחילה, כן, כי את פורמלי, פשוט מניחים שאדם בתוכו לא באמת מחל, לא תלוי איך אנחנו מסתכלים.
מה? המחילה זה לא פורמלי.
מה? המחילה אין
לא
פורמלי.
לא.
כן, אף שהוא מחל פורמלי, זה לא עובד.
לא, אנחנו לא... אם היינו מניחים, במצב שבו, נגיד מי שאומר שמחילה כן אנחנו מתייחסים אליה וכן מקבלים אותה, אז אנחנו ברגע שהאדם אמר אני מוכר, אז בסדר, אני מוכר. אנחנו לא מחווים אותו מכתב חתום על ידי עורך דין.
Okay, so let's bring this to the broader issue. The sugyot that I'm not addressing is the shir. So, right, so when you get out of it, is this whole dispute about where there are basically, there are fundamentally two kinds of positions. One position is that there are certain things about which mechila can never be effective. That position, I think, is rare. Then there's a second position, which is that mechila could theoretically be effective, but there are certain things in which practically it is never effective because we never believe the person. Right? That's the second issue. And there's a third position, which is that in fact Nefila is effective for everything if you can only establish demonstratively that the person meant it. The barrier for establishing consent is higher for certain types of things like Roshei Avarim than it is for Tsar, and perhaps higher for Tsar than it is for Mamon. But fundamentally, I tend to think this is the majority position. Actually, Nefila is effective for everything. So what Ron wants to say is the possibility that Nefila is effective suggests that we don't have to worry about all the psychological complexities as I put in. Nefila functions like it does in every other area of law, right? That, you know, that you can, if I declare in advance, or any mocha likes an X, that works. Right? We don't require such detailed contracts.
כי אם תבחר את הדרך האחרת, אז אי אפשר להסתדר ככה. כל המחילה, אני לא מוכל, מחלתי, לא מחלתי.
Good. So the contrast I wish to say, right, what I wish to say in response to that, is that all the dion in the Rishonim is about compensation. About tashlumin. And in terms of tashlumin, we need hard and fast rules. Not only that, in terms of onesh bebezdin, we need hard and fast rules. The only case where the Gemara brings up an issue of complexity is only for the Shemayim. So I want to claim that while it is true that in any case which has bidei adam consequences, we have to function al piro, the way we always do, but this sugya dafka is worded about a shkagah. And the shkagah is only an issue of the Shemayim, and there we can say, well, you know what, the concern is that even though legally the mechila would be effective, right, as evidence in court, but nonetheless, you shouldn't let him do it, because who knows what is happening to Shemayim? Why Yashig Yadla? That's how I want to reconcile those two sugyot. That I think makes sense in the sugyot, because the whole point of the sugyot is that this is not a halachic sugyot. Right, the whole peculiarity is, right, we just proved Makadar Kamaz Mutar, so why is he not Makir his son? You know perfectly well you can do it. If you were worried about this, why let him do it to begin with? Right? Why would we do it if there's no Akhir present? Why would we let him do it? The answer is because we're not doing it. But in the Maaseh, of course, it's Mutar. But there is a concern, B'nai Shemayim of Shigigah. That's how I want to explain. Yes, Ali.
Maybe I just want to suggest that maybe it's not so clear if he's allowed to do it in the first place. Because I think it's if there are two, because the Gemara gives two statements after Ben Maluki Akiz Damavim, and maybe I'm not familiar enough with Gemara, but there are two reasons for it, and there shouldn't be a Bailehu, so maybe it's a Machloket. But Mount says you can't do it because no one wants to have their blood drawn because it's painful and all that, and it's dangerous. And Rav Dinyala said, no, it's for the fuah, and therefore it's for the
lah. Interesting. You think Rav Nasa said it's usr?
Yeah.
I assume Rav Nasa said it's mutr. That's what Rashi says.
That's what Rashi says, I know. But
you want to read it against Rashi?
Yes.
You want your blood drawn. You didn't want your blood drawn. We never allowed it.
Maybe we would. Maybe kofin al refuah.
Okay, so I would say, I have Rashi. Find me a Rishon and reads it the other way. And I'll be happy to entertain. Okay. Right, we're not going. Somebody reads it that way, right? Okay. I think Rashi's reading is plausible.
Okay.
And I don't have any. All right, assuming that, although we have to read Elliot's thing in Lindo, unless you buy it yourself, or else you can somehow until we find somebody else who suggests it.
Well, if you're, it's a perfectly plausible read if you're assuming a premise of Kokonar Rathua.
No,
I'm
just assuming that people didn't like getting the blood drawn.
Right. If your starting assumptions I should be able to be Kofah Rafua, then I could say, oh, but Vihadlara Kamoka, I wouldn't want you to be Kofah Rafua to me, so I won't be Kofah Rafua to you.
Depends on how you view the like.
Okay. So we can hold that. I think we'll hold it there. So the last point I want to make is as follows. So we have two, assuming the other way, we have two limudim as to why it's permissible for a son to do refuah on the father. One of them is a special heter that says makel refuah is mutar, and that seems to believe that at least in terms of a father, there are no other heterim for hakah. Right? If we need a special heter for refuah, that means that a general tzarah isn't good enough. Refuah is a darn good tzarah. Right, so that limud seems to believe. That limud seems to believe that at least for parents there is no heter l'tzaraf. The question is whether we need the same heter for refua for a regular person. And Pashtus is that we don't, I think, because otherwise what's the question? Ben Maoshiach is dam lavid. It should be Rofe Maoshiach is dam l'chaleh. Okay. But I don't think that matters so much to our purposes, because I think that limit is limited to the needed dafka for a father. But the question is, what about the Hatla Ratha Kamocha? So the Hatla Ratha Kamocha certainly applies to all people as others, and maybe there's even it may be that Makel Rafu is mutter for everybody. But Rashi says here the reason that you can be Makeh Refua Laviv is because Ruhuzer Yisrael, Ruhuzer Yisrael Milasos Lachavirehem, El Adamar Shenapotes Lasos Leatsno. The Rashi holds that even the prohibition of striking your father only applies to things that you would not want done to yourself. Pashas, okay? That's an even. I don't think is a special halacha of father and son, although you could try and find other conflicts with Reyamin specifically. If Reyamin specifically father and son, the way sometimes means husband and wife. But assuming we haven't found such a makor. So the Atlerecha Kamocha is a general heter, and it means that the whole Isser is doing things to other people that you would not want done to yourself. So how do we determine what you're not allowed to do to yourself? Anything that you would not want to do to yourself, you shouldn't do to yourself.
Would you do this to yourself?
Right. That gives pretty broad license.
Yeah.
That's
what
that's in the end.
We haven't asked the person you're doing it to, would you want this?
Oh, something like
or we could set up a reasonable person standard.
It's something like an informed consent where two people might have similar ideas.
So we do. Well, again, I'm assuming that the sugi ends up saying, Achatim Chemanav Shotechem. Is an absolute ban on suicide, right? That's the first thing we had, right? So we removed suicide from the discussion, because we have a brisa specifically. I don't need to address that particular question. I could in other contexts, I don't need to, you know. But if Rashi's standard is absolute, then it should turn out that it is mutter to do anything to yourself that you want to do to yourself. Because the only issue is doing things to other people you wouldn't want to do to yourself. Can't possibly do something yourself that you want to do to yourself. Now, we could complicate this by setting up a reasonable person standard. So then, if you want to do it to yourself, then we only do. It's not that it's us or her, it's just that you're incompetent. Right? That's all that happens if we try to answer anything. I don't know how far to take that up. But if we wanted to put it all together, we could play, the most radical way I could frame the whole day together is. Everyone agrees that Kavala Batsmaka is mutter. There's some debate about whether it's wrong. But even the people who hold it as wrong, perhaps only think it's wrong if you do it and you don't really want to. Okay, I don't think
only Nasikims are allowed to
do it. It's a very strange position. So I want to say up front, I don't actually wish to maintain this position at all. And we still have to go through the Rambam and the Rambam and the Rambam and all those people. And if I were to maintain this position, I think it would be plausible to claim that this was a fairly large fish. But I also want to make it clear that you have a great deal of room in how you understand the position. Right? It's not like you, when you walk up to the Rishonim, you have to say, well, of course, everyone holds Kol Asna Pez Asa. It's any position that seems to suggest that it might, under some circumstances, be mutter. Right? Oh, well, you know, that's a wild fetish. Actually, coming out of the Gemara, the implication seems to be that it's really, really hard to construct an Isser. Not only that, the Gemara went out of its way to eliminate the only text which might possibly have suggested unequivocally that there was such an Isser. So you have lots of room to construct. And then, right, in that room, is to figure out if you have a conflicting value of autonomy, as I argued the moral theta does, right, then determining on how far you wish to back away from everything I suggest, you may do that to some degree in tension with your belief that there ought to be as much space for autonomy as possible. Yes, David?
Didn't you see in one of the Tosfos a position that our whole sugya, Bechabal, Asmacha, and Babakama, is all Aliba, that Tana who taught the Braisa that Rabbi Akiva held out on Rosh Hashanah Basmacha? But if you hold that, if you hold that the Mishnah is the real position of Rabbi Akiva, none of our discussion is necessary.
I don't think that's the Tosfos, right? The Tosfos says is that the reason the Gemara asked this question, as opposed to just relying on the Mishnah, is because the Gemara now knows that Rabbi Akiva's mission is in dispute. Otherwise, we could have said it's Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
I'm going to leave it at that point. It's going on the reality that we don't know what the text is, what Rabbi Akiva actually said.
Right, but you only have to pin our Mishnah on this weird statement that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar if you hold that the Bryser really has Rabbi Akiva's correct view.
No.
If the Mishnah really has Rabbi Akiva's correct view, I don't need Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. I'll pin the Mishnah on Rabbi Akiva.
The source from the Pshat
in the Mishnah is that it's Baltashchis, because it's immediately juxtaposed with Kotzis and Tziotav.
Right. So you want to go back to Mishnah is just Baltashchis, and the Gemara holds it as Baltashchis. You want to say I'm okay with that. I don't think that. So Tosfos is just saying is that the reason the Gemara has to ask the question is because now it knows that it can't be sure that it's going to be given, and maybe it's. It doesn't have to believe the Braita, it just now has to consider the possibility of the Mishnah as a typo.
Right, and it says, even if I believe the Braita, so I could find another Tana to pin this Mishnah on.
No, I don't think I believe the Braita. So I think if now that I know that the Akiva's position is in dispute, I need to find some way of believing that this tradition of the Akiva is plausible. And the answer is, the Elazar HaKapar makes this position of Rabbi Akiva, makes it plausible that this was the position of Rabbi Akiva. That's how I understand it. Otherwise, I would just talk like a Braisa against the Mishnah. Because I know that the position of Rashi exists. So I would assume that Ein Rashi is a typo. No, the Elazar HaKapar might have said that.
Why would I assume that? If I know the position in Rashi exists, I should assume Rashi is a typo.
How do you know the position of Rashi exists?
I know that there's a dispute of Rabbi Akiva.
How do you
believe in the position of Rashi because of the Braisa and Shavuos? I think that's all it is. All right. Thank you very, very much, Rob. You have a cover today, and everybody should have a strong towel and mask on the teeth.